Well, I want you to look again, verse 10 of this text. I want you to notice an amazing admission by the rebellious people of God concerning their own heart's desire. Verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Rather, speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceits. In other words, the people of God in Israel wanted to hear prophecy. They did. They wanted a message from God, or at least a revelation that purported to be from God. They definitely wanted some sort of a divine message. Call it spirituality, if you will. The amazing thing is they themselves wanted to determine what that message was and what that message would say. So they said, don't talk to us. Don't tell us, talk to us about things that are right or even things that are wrong. Don't talk to us about things that are true. Don't even tell us things about the future, even if those future events are going to happen. Instead, they demanded to hear these things that they called, those things they called smooth. Verse 10 says, tell us, speak unto us smooth things. Tell us things that go down easy, are pleasant to the taste, easy to swallow. Give us, they said, a smooth gospel. And may I say, beloved, if there was ever a description of the spiritual state of our American society, if there was ever a biblical example of what happens to a prosperous and a blessed nation as Israel was, then for sure, these four words summarize the spirit of these times. Tell us smooth things. Father, I pray that we will open our hearts to your word. These things were written for our learning and our admonition, the scripture says. May we learn. May we be admonished, Father. May we be encouraged, convicted, strengthened, better servants of the Most High God because we came today. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, when I first came across Isaiah 30 and verse 10 in my sort of devotional time, I was intrigued. And I was intrigued mostly by the word smooth. After all, it's a pretty popular word in our own society today, and not surprisingly, one that's used in a lot of commercial advertising. A certain brand of cigarettes claims to be rich and smooth in taste. They don't allow those on television anymore, but you see them in some magazine billboards. Smooth, that's smooth. Carcinogens, they're actually talking about there on the billboard. There's a certain beer that claims that it's beechwood aged for a smooth taste. Applewood Estate is a Jamaican rum that, quotes, goes down smooth. Brother Sam tells me that's true, that advertisement. I don't know. If you go to the mall, or you go down to Tropical Smoothie, you can get yourself a tropical drink that is, in fact, called a smoothie. And then if you want, while you're sipping your smoothie and smoking your smooth camels, you can turn on the radio and listen to WRLX. Relax, smooth, 92.1. I can't do it like Tim, but it's smooth jazz or whatever. And undoubtedly, you'll hear smooth operator. It's quite the word in American society. And when I first again saw it on Isaiah 30 many years ago, it intrigued me. It reminded me, in fact, of an essay that I had read ages ago by the political scientist Edmund Burke. Wrote a book entitled The Sublime and the Beautiful. And way back in 1780, let me just read a few of the words that he wrote. He said, and see if you don't think it's so syrupy that you get sugar diabetes just by listening to the words. He said, smooth things are relaxing. It ought to appear that sweet things, which are smooth to the taste, are relaxing too. It is remarkable that in some languages, soft and sweet have but one name. Doux in French, D-O-U-X, signifies soft as well as sweet. The Italian dolce has the same double signification. Milk oil and sugar. These first supports of our childhood, when blended together, 1780, they had smoothies, when blended together, have a great smoothness to the taste and a relaxing quality to the skin. We must observe that smooth things are agreeable to the taste and are found of a relaxing quality. It goes on and on and on like this. Edmund Burke had apparently too much time on his hands, but he illustrates, I think, exactly what Isaiah is talking about in this morning's text. Speak unto us, they said, smooth things. What did they want? They wanted something sweet, dulce, something soft, something relaxing, something agreeable to their own taste. And again, they stand in this chapter as a paradigm of every generation that decides the message, the prophecy, the truth that they want to hear. It brings us this morning to some very important truths. I think very critical observations in this day and age for God's people to understand and to embrace in times like these. You see, folks, I remind you that God has chosen words. God has chosen the human language, both spoken and written, as the vehicle through which He communicates, through which He reveals Himself and His will to nations and to men. Hebrews 1 says that God, in time past, spoken to us by the prophets, and we're reading one of those now. He goes on to say, in these last days, He hath spoken unto us through His Son. You know what? The Son of God, according to John 1:1, is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God speaks to us through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ. The problem is what happens when the people to whom He is speaking, when the professing Christians, when the nation to whom God speaks wants to decide what those words really are. What happens when so many people only want to hear the words of God if the words of God are smooth? By the way, I cannot imagine this morning a better illustration of this than with what is happening right now in a trial in Philadelphia. A so-called doctor, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, is charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder because he was delivering live babies in the third trimester, then killing them in the so-called Women's Medical Society. The testimony in the grand jury shows that literally hundreds and hundreds of babies have been killed in the past couple of decades through this method, killed on a gurney, breathing, screaming. The testimony shows that this doctor and some of his assistants are cold-hearted racists exploiting women for nothing more than money. But you know, that's the outrage, and the second outrage today is for months there has been the lack of media coverage, pretty much a deliberate blackout until just recently because they were shamed into covering it, which they barely cover it still. And you know the excuse that they give, in fact, the excuse that CNN gave this week when they were called out for having all of these stories about Sandra Fluke and all these other things just over and over and over again, but why not mention this unbelievable, horrible thing that's happening in our country? Their excuse was, quote, "It's not a subject that appeals to the American public's taste." Really? In other words, it's not smooth enough. You know, that didn't seem to stop the 24/7 coverage of the massacre at Sandy Hook, or the unappealing coverage of Abu Ghraib years ago, or waterboarding, or Todd Aiken last fall over and over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, had that clinic in Philadelphia been a place to kill dogs? Had the doctor used an AK-47 instead of scissors, there would be massive media coverage 24/7, and the President of the United States would be calling for legislation and a so-called national conversation. The headline in the Palm Beach Post today talks about 5 people that were killed in the highway on Blue Heron over the weekend. That's brutal. That's not appealing. But they will never put this story on the front of the Palm Beach Post. What happens to a people when they only want to hear words that are smooth to the ears? I can tell you what happened in the land of Judah. And beloved, I can tell you what is also happening in American society today. The law of supply and demand has greatly increased the number of smooth talkers, smooth leaders, smooth teachers. What was it that Paul told Timothy in his second epistle to him? He said, Timothy, preach the word, all the word, the whole counsel of God. Preach the word, he said, because the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers who what? Who tickle their ears. Now wait a minute. They will heap to themselves? Yes. You see, it's supply and demand. So the question this morning is, what do we do? What are we called to do? As the children and the people of God in times like these last days. Well, there are a few things that we do by way of remembering, as we said. Three simple but critical observations I hope we'll take to heart this morning. What are they? Number one, remembering the truth that smooth words, number one, are not necessarily good words. Now, please hear this. Just because it sounds smooth, and I want you to understand, even if the words are coming from a reverend or a preacher or a bishop or a pastor, or a leader, a senator, a president, just because it sounds smooth, just because it feels good, just because all of the promises are pleasant to the ear, does not increase its chances at all of being good or of being true. For instance, somebody with a winning smile and a soothing, articulate voice says, "Here's what we believe. We believe that all," I'll try to smile through this, "we believe that all religions are good. We believe that love in one's heart is all that God wants or expects, that everyone will find God in his own way. We believe that all of Islam is peaceful and that women have the right to be free with their reproductive choices. We believe that a loving God will not judge a man, so neither should we. We believe there's a heaven and a paradise, but there is no hell. We believe that what you believe is just as true as what I believe and what he believes. And so we believe that all beliefs are worth believing. Amen." All we are saying is give peace a chance. You know what? That may sound good. It may sound sweet or soft or smooth to the ears. There's a real problem with a smooth message such as that. And the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is it's not true. That's kind of a big problem, isn't it? The problem is it is wrong, it is a lie, it is false, it is deceitful. In fact, look at the last line of verse 10. "Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." In other words, smooth, in this case, equals deceit. Several years ago, many years ago, the boys were young, I took them to the Imagination Station, the wooden park. They've since remodeled it on Central Boulevard. And this, while we were there, an older couple pulled in. And they were all frustrated. And they called me over and they asked me a question. They said, "Can you tell me where Courtyard Gardens is?" Well, I know where that is. I've been there many times. We have services there all the time. And so in my sweet, kind, helpful, charismatic way, I said, "Sure. Where are y'all from?" We talked a little bit. I said, "All you have to do is go back out here, turn left, and just keep driving on Central Boulevard. It's right there on the right." Well, you know what? They were so happy and thankful that finally somebody gave them the right directions, and in such a sweet, kind way as I did. The problem is, as soon as they left, I realized you don't turn left from this park. You turn right, and it's on the left. Ugh. But you know what I did? I said to myself, I said, "That's okay, James. You were sincere. You were loving, and I was. You were kind. And besides, all roads lead to the same destination. You helped these people. And you know what? They really and truly felt better the moment I told them to go the wrong way. No, that's not what I said to myself. I said to myself, Jim, you idiot. You sent them in the opposite direction, ye blind guide, ye generation of serpents. Because, you know, they came from New Jersey to visit their 98-year-old mother. Now they're lost on Military Trail heading to Miami. I told them I was a pastor in the area. You know they trusted me. You know, the truth of the matter is when they met me at that park, they were already within a quarter of a mile of Courtyard Gardens. After they met me, they're in the wrong county. May I remind you of something? Remember, just because words are smooth, it doesn't mean that words are good or true. And that is the reason why there's a second obvious and simple truth in the text, and that is number two. Not only are smooth words not necessarily good, but good words, true words, are not necessarily smooth. In fact, you notice the first word of the chapter? It's the word woe. Notice the first word of the chapter before this. It is the word woe. The first word of chapter 31, by the way, the word woe is a word of calling down a curse. It is the word woe. Well, you know what? That's not very smooth. But let me tell you something. It sure is good. And the reason I know it's good is because it is God's word. Good words are not always smooth. You know what? The very word gospel, which we believe and which we preach, the word means good news. But let me remind you of something. The very thing that makes the gospel good is what also makes it unsmooth. Amen. You know why? The first time I ever heard the gospel, I was 12 years of age. My parents didn't go to church. I didn't go to church. I'd been in and out of the Air Force chapel once or twice. And I went to church, and the first thing that the gospel told me was that I was lost. Lost. It told me that I was a sinner, already condemned, and in need of a Savior. It wasn't smooth, ladies and gentlemen, but it sure was good. Even John 3:16, that everybody seems to love, for God so loved the world. Let me remind you, there's a word in that sweet chapter, and it is the word perish. The word perish encompasses all the truth of hell and separation from God forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, so that those that don't believe will perish. Pastor, I came this morning and I really wanted to hear something sweet and good. Come back tonight. Actually, wait a minute. No, I'm going to be mean tonight, so don't come back tonight either. Reminds me, several years ago, there was a lady visiting the Sunday morning service. She came to me after the service, and she said, Reverend Blaylock, and when I hear Reverend, I usually know they're not regular. Reverend Blaylock, I'm a visitor here today, and I just want you to know that I thoroughly enjoyed today's service. And I thought, so far, so good. She then went on to say, I'm a member of the Universal Unitarian Church, and your message today was so warm. I felt a peace and a calm in my spirit. It was just that soothing and sweet. And she said, I want you to know I'll be back again. Well, I don't remember sermons very well, and especially sermon titles. But I remember that one. It was called Crowned with God's Glory. I wrote it down with a note that said, what did you do wrong? I mean, warm and fuzzy. I was losing the anointing as far as I could tell. And so the next time, sometime later, not long after, I saw the same lady. And she said in a very terse voice, she waited for me over by my old office as I was leaving. And it's the same lady. And she said, Reverend, I don't think I'll be coming back. And I definitely remember that sermon as well. That sermon was titled, Don't Believe in Yourself. It was a text on Cece from Man. You know what? When she said, I don't think I'll be coming back, because I did not get warm and peace and fuzzy feeling, I thought to myself, yes, I'm back. I'm the old meanie I always was. Now, truthfully, honestly, I didn't think that entirely. I thought that I was burdened for this dear lady. And I thought to myself, and I still am, that the scripture she heard on the second message, the one that made her feel less comfortable and less warm and fuzzy, was without a doubt the one that she needed the most, more than the warm and fuzzy. So that, you know, regardless of how she felt or anybody feels, good words are not necessarily smooth words. Let me put it to you this way. If you started having chest pains, and you go to this doctor who examines you, and he says to you, he says, sir, you have very serious heart disease, 5 clogged arteries, and you're a ticking time bomb, and you need surgery. What are you going to say to him? I mean, what are you going to say? Are you going to say that his words were offensive and crude? That he's intolerant, that he's divisive? He's just not a very kind man. He told me that I have a bad heart, that it's flawed, that it's clogged up. So you're offended, so you go to another doctor. And unfortunately for you, that doctor says the exact same thing. And then a third doctor, and then a fourth, all of them repeating your condition and the absolute need that you have of a bypass surgery, until finally you find some doctor who tells you exactly what you want to hear. And he says with a smile, you're not a sick man. Right now you're just cardio challenged. And what I want you to do the next time you feel those chest pains is look at them in a positive light and call them, you know what? Call them love spasms. It's your heart's way of telling you that it just loves you. Channel those chest pains into some sort of positive energy, because you're going to be fine. All is well. I'm certainly not here to judge you. Who am I except the love doctor? So you leave his office and you feel so good, because he spoke to you in smooth words. And you feel good, and it stays that way until, of course, you have a massive love spasm attack. Someone said to me last week, Pastor, don't you just love Easter? Pastor, don't you just love Christmas? I do. But I'm thankful by the grace of God that I love all of it. I know and believe that the resurrection was the result of the crucifixion. I know that the baby in the manger was ultimately given myrrh because he would also die on a cross for our sins. It's the whole counsel of God. One of our young people is a cadet at West Point right now. A couple years ago in Sunday school, I said to him, I said, Ryan, do you know what the cadet's prayer says? The cadet's prayer at West Point, it's pretty amazing. I'm just going to read a small portion. It says, O God, our Father, thou searcher of human hearts, help us to draw near to thee in sincerity and in truth. Encourage us in our endeavor to live above the common level of life. Make us to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and never be content with half truth when the whole truth can be won. Make us to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong. I'll tell you what, folks, that's not a good prayer just for Army cadets. That's a good prayer for all soldiers of the cross of Christ. It's a reminder this morning that God's words, good words, true words, are not necessarily smooth words. And that leads us then to a third and final truth in the text. We said, number one, smooth words are not necessarily good words. Good words are not necessarily smooth words. But number three, I want to remind all of us here is that God's words are always good words. Rough or smooth, somewhere in between. God's words are always good words. In verse 21 of our text, in thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. You know, I've thought a lot about this verse through the years. I use it in Sunday school from time to time with the teenagers. Because if you really consider what this promise is teaching, folks, you realize that it's really offering the exact opposite of smooth word theology. Matter of fact, just compare the way and the path of verse 21 with the way and the path of the smoothies in verse 9 through 11. Look at verse 9. This is a rebellious people. Verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, they said, don't turn our smooth path into something we don't like. Don't tell us to turn right. Don't tell us to turn left. Because we like the way of our own choosing. So that again, verse 21, the voice that tells you when and where to turn, it's the opposite of smooth word spirituality. There are a lot of young people in this building right now. And I hope you young people will hear me as you've heard me in Sunday school and many other times say to you. You're going to be bombarded as you are in your public schools and in this society on television, in sitcoms, in the Disney Channel and everything else, the music, with do your own thing. I'm a little bit of a child of the 60s, and the phrase was, do your own thing. The funny thing, they all did the same thing. They all had the long hair and the peace bands. They all did exactly the same thing because there is a broad way, and they're all doing the same thing in that broad path, and there is a narrow way. You know, human nature, our carnal nature, always acts like a river in that it always flows in the path of least resistance. That's why rivers and men are crooked. They take the easiest path. In this case, God promises a voice that tells you when to turn right and when to turn left, and whether it's to the right hand or whether it's to the left hand. Whether it is turning onto a path that is smooth or a path that feels rough. Whether the road appeals to you or whether it doesn't appeal to you, in either case, if it's God's word, it's always good words. As a child of God this morning, and as a child of God this morning, you don't have to worry, I don't have to worry, with whether or not the words of this book are rough. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they convict me to my core. I don't have to worry or wonder if the words are in this book are smooth. Oftentimes they're very smooth. Sometimes God's words are sweet and smooth, rejoicing the heart. And it's just as good as when it convicts the heart. Someone gave me a little candy bar a while back called Three Musketeers Mint Dark Chocolate. You know what? I remember I put that thing in my mouth. Not only was it the perfect combination of delicate, light, fluffy mint nougat dipped in rich dark chocolate, but I noticed right in the wrapper it said 45% less fat than the leading brand. I did the math. 45% means I lose weight while I eat that thing. Amen? That means it's all good. Sometimes when the voice of God says, this is the way, walk ye in it, sometimes the path is smooth and sweet and easy as ABC, 1, 2, 3, easy as pie, easy as beating the Miami Marlins. They are 2-9, by the way. Sometimes it's easy, very easy. Other times when the Bible says, this is the way, walk ye in it, it's not so smooth as far as our flesh is concerned. It's not quite as easy, but I remind you, if it's God's word, if it's God's will, it is always good. Including for many of you in this room, the truth of God's salvation from sin and hell. It begins, as I noted a moment ago, pretty rough. You know what it says? It says, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It begins with guilt. I know we're not supposed to talk about guilt in churches in modern day America, but the gospel begins with guilt. There is none righteous, no, not one. It begins with judgment. The wages of sin is death. But if you will hear and believe those words, If you will embrace the truth of your lostness, of your sin, of your affront to a holy God, then it gets smoother. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, thank you for the truth of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the truth of eternal life. But we thank you, God, for all of the truth. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit working in our midst will convict our hearts, all of us. For those who have asked for prayer as your people, draw them to you. For those several hands, Lord, who said, I'm not saved, would you pray for me? I pray for them now. I pray, God, for this service, Lord, to be a tool, a means to bringing them into the kingdom as they accept Christ as Savior. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.